Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll see that Elisha will prove he's no slouch in Elijah's mantle, but rather he's definitely inherited a double portion of Elijah's spirit. We mentioned in the last chapter that Elijah had a unique set of miracles, like she-bears. Sorry, I just can't get over that one. Leave me alone. I can't grow hair anymore. And water miracles. We contrasted that with the fire to show that Elisha wasn't just a carbon copy of Elijah. He was his own man. God used him in a unique way, just like he will me and you. But this chapter also gives us some validation of Elisha. It shows him duplicating some of the more difficult miracles that Elijah did. If you remember, Jesus promised the disciples, when he was talking about the Holy Spirit, that they would do greater things than even he had done. And of course, reading the book of Acts, we don't necessarily get that impression, but we do see them doing the greater things of preaching the gospel and watching thousands come to Christ. Perhaps that's one of the greatest miracles of all. Although there are four miracles, I'd like to focus in on one briefly, the Shunammite son restored to life, found in verse 8. One day, Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, "I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make him a small room on the roof and put a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp there for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." One day, when Elijah came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said, "Tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now, what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?" She replied, "I have a home among my own people." "What can be done for her?" Elisha said. Gehazi said, "She has no son, and her husband is old." Then Elisha said, "Call her in." So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. "About this time next year, you will hold a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she objected. "Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant." But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elijah had told her. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. He said to his father, "My head, my head!" His father told the servant, "Carry him to his mother." After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on a lap until noon and then died. She went up and laid him on the bed, and the man of God then shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return." "Why go to him today?" he said. "It's not the new moon or Sabbath." "That's all right," she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Lead on, don't slow down for me unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right?'" "Everything's all right," she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is in bitter distress. But the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why." "Did I ask you for a son, my lord?" she said. "Didn't I tell you don't raise my hopes?" Elijah said to Gehazi, "Tuck your cloak into your belt and take my staff in your hand and run. Don't greet anyone you meet, and if anyone greets you, don't answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face." But the child's mother said, "As surely as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you." So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, "The boy is not awakened." When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay on the boy mouth to mouth, eye to eye, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out on him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room and got on the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed seven times and opened his eyes. Elijah summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." And he did. When she came, he said, "Take your son." She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground, and then she took her son and went out. Well, there were four miracles in all in today's passage. The first is a miraculous supply of oil for a prophet's widow trying to feed her family. Number two, we just read the woman's son, the Shunammite's son, returned to life. Number three, a near miss with a poisoned stew. And number four, the feeding of 100 people from a very small amount of food. Sound familiar? Well, each of these miracles is not only a validation of Elisha's ministry, they also have a connection to the ministry of Jesus. Jesus miraculously multiplied wine when it ran out, just like the oil. But the immediate application was to the prophets that followed Elijah around, much like the 12 who followed Jesus. As Elijah was training his prophets, so Jesus was training the 12 apostles. And each of these miracles would have been a validation to them, including what Gehazi saw. We've already seen where the prophets recognize a succession of the Spirit's power and authority on Elisha, but now they're witnessing it in his regular ministry. 2 Kings 2:15 says, "Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho opposite him saw him, they said, 'The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha.' And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him." Now that's an important thing to remember about leadership. Leadership is primarily defined in the New Testament as serving. And if you notice in this chapter, each of these miracles is not really about power or authority, but really about serving people. He serves a poor widow who has nobody to care for her. Elisha serves a woman whose son dies. He serves the prophets who pick the wrong herb and poison their pot of stew unwittingly. He serves the hungry people around him by multiplying 20 loaves of bread to feed 100. And that's the essence of prophecy, by the way, not foretelling the future, but forthtelling the heart of God. In each miracle in this passage, each action is God's heart shown in a physical act. After all, that's what miracles are. They're God's heart working into the present world and changing and healing and fixing the broken things. Each miracle that Jesus did also showed God's heart and showed who he was. After all, God wants to provide for us, just like he did the oil in this passage. He wants to give us new life, just like the son of the Shunammite was raised to life. God wants to save us from what poisons us, from our own stupid mistakes, like death in the pot. And God lastly wants to satisfy our hungry soul, as when Jesus fed the 5,000, he told them, "You really need to feed on me." And by the way, as you read the New Testament, you'll find that everything that Jesus does is a sermon in action. Each miracle, study closely, demonstrates something about who God is. God can be seen by what he does. And it's the same for us. That's why Jesus trained the 12. That's why he modeled it for them to carry on his work on earth as he ascended to heaven. You may not have the same spiritual gifts or power as Elijah, but you know what? You can use the gifts you have to serve others and to show that same heart of God working in the world today. That will show them who God is. I remember my senior year in high school sticking up for a special needs girl, the most popular kid in school, who later went on to become a basketball superstar, was picking on her. And there was just something in me that said, that's not right, and Jesus, the defender of the weak when he was on planet Earth, would have stood up for her. Well, I could do nothing less. And neither can you. The most touching thing in this passage is when the Shunammite says, "I told you not to get my hopes up. In this world of despair, people need hope like never before. And you being a listening ear might be the way to serve people. Being the person that others can go to. Perhaps God wants to make you a shepherd who goes after the lost, who leaves the 99 to go after that one sheep. Maybe it's a gift of encouragement. Maybe it's just praying for other people. It doesn't need to be earth-shattering miracles to show God's heart. We don't know what those other prophets did in this passage, but if what they did was show God's heart to those who needed hope, like Elijah, it would be more important than any miracle they could do. Read 2 Kings chapter 4 today, and we'll see you tomorrow on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.